Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. I love eating as much as anything else in the world, but also it sometimes brings me conflict, shame, and all sorts of other things that are rubbish. It's complicated and I think fascinating. This is a conversation with an interesting soul, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering.
Hello there. Thanks so much for listening to this, the Hoovering Podcast. If you're enjoying it, please may you tell other people about it. I don't care how you do it. You can use words out loud or you can tell them online. It's just so helpful when you do that. I'm very appreciative of it. Also, every time you rate, review and subscribe to the podcast, I mean, it's doing me a huge favour. So I'm very grateful when you do that. Also, if you are into this podcast and you've got a few spare pounds a month, I'm on this amazing website called Patreon, where you can swap brilliant prizes like recipes from my guests, the chance to have input in the podcast, and the chance to kill me for a tiny bit of money a month. And that actually is like properly helping me survive and thrive. We're bloody thriving. I'd say we're thriving. Go to patreon.com/thehooveringpod. Now for some very exciting exclusive news. I've got two new Hoovering live shows booked in Islington in London. The idea is there's a panel of guests joining me, really swanky celebrity ones, but they are to be announced. They will be brilliant. And they'll be joining me for food, and there'll be enough food for us all to try, all being well. But you're encouraged to bring your own food too, because I want to hear about the sort of snacks that you'd bring. It's in the evening on the 27th and the 28th of January at the Hen and Chickens. If you want tickets, I think they probably, maybe they'll go fast. I don't know. I'd have no idea. I hope they do. I bloody hope they do. I should just go, yeah, they're going to go fast. So quickly snap up your ticket. Go to unrestrictedview.co.uk/the-hoovering-podcast-live. Also, I have to plug my new material gigs in Camden in London to you. If you want to come and see me do stand-up, they're called Honers Club. The next one's on the 5th of November and there's still a few tickets. And one of my guests is so famous, I can't even announce his name. But he's lovely and brilliant, so you should come. Go to wegottickets.com, search for Honers Club, H-O-N-E-R-S. That one will sell out, but unbelievably, there are still a few tickets at the moment, so tuck in. It's only £3 in advance. Talking of live shows, this week's episode is from our first ever Hoovering live show. It was recorded in Manchester as part of the formidable and inaugural Manchester Podcast Festival. My guests were Claire Goodwin from Bake Off, Sherilee Houston, who plays Izzy in Corrie, and the hilarious stand-up Rachel Fairburn, who's one half of the Wicked All Killer No Filler podcast. It was a proper laugh. We cover everything from Harold Shipman to Bruce Bogtrotter with some fibromyalgia and rapeseed oil conspiracy theories in between. Warning, this episode contains my favourite, yet at times most harrowing, stories about eating during the middle of the night of all time.
Hey! Hello! Hello, how are you? This is nice. I forgot to bring my knife out, so I've had to walk out like a murderer. It's for that. Look at that. I think there might be some left over. Good. Thank you so much for coming. I've never done this live before. First ever time. So thanks for having me, Manchester. And because it's the first time, it might be an absolute clusterfuck. And that's fine, isn't it? Because you're kind, aren't you? Yes. Okay, good. Well, with that in mind, can you do the kindest, loudest, heartiest, most enthusiastic welcome, please, to all of my guests? Could you introduce yourself in the shittest way possible, I think, would be fun.
Hello, my name's Shirley Houston, and I had two vegetarian sausages for breakfast.
Yeah, fabulous.
My name's Rachel Fairburn, and I have had two square crisps today. I bought the whole packet, but I was saving myself. They're still in the back room if anyone wants them.
Did you get worried that you'd be full if you'd had three square crisps?
Well, I wanted to be really hungry.
I'm starving.
Starving, yeah. Yeah, I wanted to be hungry, but so I've achieved that level of hunger.
Yeah. Were an aperitif.
Yeah.
Were they actual squares?
Yeah, they're in my bag.
And what flavour?
Salt and vinegar.
Fit the best.
Yeah.
Salt and vinegar squares. And can I ask what brand of vegetarian sausage we're talking? Linda McCartney?
Linda McCartney. Yeah. Rosemary with a bit of rosemary.
Rosemary and red onion. My second favourite only to red pepper and treat though.
The rosemary ones are the gluten-free ones.
Oh, fair enough.
But they haven't caught on. They don't have it on the box.
Dicks. Claire, introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Claire Goodwin, and I was on Bake Off 4 years ago for about 11 and a half minutes.
Funny. Right, I've got some food here for us that is from a place in Hyde.
Ooh.
That's local for you. But
that's
quite far in an Uber.
That's where Harold Shipman was from.
Harold Shipman was from. Oh. And also, I used to live in Hyde, and he was my doctor.
Harold Shipman was your doctor.
So thank fuck you're so young.
Thank God you're so young, Claire.
Could do a spin off of my podcast on this one,
couldn't we? This is kind of a bit of a crossover
this
for all killer no
filler.
Is, it true that Harold Shipman's the actual most prolific serial killer of all time?
Yeah, certainly, definitely in the UK. I think there's a couple of Colombian serial killers that have just got the edge on him. but yeah, we'll stick with Shipman.
Oh, wow.
So have you been in his surgery in a room on your own, just you and him?
Well, there's one story, and I only have one story. So I grew up in Hyde. I lived with my mum and dad and my older sister. As most of us did in Hyde, we all had our ears pierced at about 4 months old.
Snobs. Snobs for making a noise at that.
And mine went septic because anything that I try to do goes wrong. So so my mum took me to the doctor, which was Harold Shipman. And he said to my mum, "You shouldn't be mutilating babies like this. It's tantamount to child abuse."
Whoa, and did she say you shouldn't be murdering anybody over the age of 70?
Yeah, well, you know, we didn't know then.
Wow.
You'd hope you didn't know, wouldn't you? Or your mum, even for taking you there for your gammy ears, would be in trouble.
We'd be a threat, wouldn't it? If you'd be naughty, I'll take you to Harold Shipman.
Yeah.
You have to be careful now who you sort of like tell the anecdote to, because some people find it a bit intriguing. But then obviously if you know people from Hyde, he killed so many people. There's always somebody that...
There's not many degrees of separation between a Shipman victim.
Yeah. So...
and someone... Fucking hell. It's taking a sinister turn very early on.
I can smell chocolate.
Good, yeah. Well, there we go. So our food has come from the same place as Harold Shipman and Claire Goodwin. it's a place called Vedic 2 Vegan, and it's an Indian restaurant, and it's all vegan and vegetarian. It's on Facebook. Check it out. The guy was called Rahul, and he's still alive.
He doesn't know Shipman.
He is called Rahul, and he's so lovely. We've got some Sev Puri, crispy, these things, I think, these like round, they look like a ball of poppadom with a filling inside, and I think we're supposed to pour that tamarind stock into it. Would one of you pour that in?
You know what they remind me of, right? So you know in Jurassic Park?
Oh,
when, for no reason whatsoever, Sam Neill picks up the velociraptor egg and sniffs it. Do you know which bit I mean? Yeah. Why does he do that? No need, Sam. That's what they look like. Look,
it looked like a dinosaur egg has hatched.
Do you know what I mean there? Like that little bit.
Filled with like amazing little nibbly bits.
Maybe that's why he was sniffing them. He thought they were them.
Yeah. It's like, oh, a puri. That'll work well on the audio. Absolutely nailing it. We've got some chili paneer, not vegan. Yes, I will be eating it. And we've got some masala dosa, thin crispy pancake made from rice and lentil filled with spicy potatoes and onions. I'm assuming that's one of them. An uttapam, lentil and rice pancake, very similar sounding, but topped with peppers, onion and tomato. That'll be the round one. And then a liquid. It's orange and it smells nice. And that's looks like rice. fucking hell. He's written on it, but very, very faintly. It looks like a lovely mixture of rice and things. Let's start hacking up. We've got some plates and stuff and, yeah, we'll do it. In the meantime, who in here has bought something to eat and wants to tell us about it? Don't be shy. Some hands up at the back.
There is stain on that.
Oh, delicious. Yeah, there is.
I'll have it. I don't give a shit. Is it? I'll have the plate with the mysterious stain on. My hobo like that. Who with their first hands up? Yes, my love. What is your name?
Ellie.
Ellie. Nice to meet you, Ellie. Oh, God. Are you Ellie that's bought the chocolate orange brownies?
Ooh.
Ellie, tell us about these bloody brownies, please.
So they are chocolate orange brownies. I normally use a whole chocolate orange, but to try and make them slightly more veganish, I've used dark chocolate orange instead, less milk in it. And
but yeah. Is there still some milk in it?
No, because I can't have milk anymore.
Oh, okay, fine, okay.
But so the eggs are from my aunt's chickens, which are rescued battery hens.
Whoa!
I know.
Hands up if you're a vegan. Okay, and would you eat those eggs?
Yeah.
Yes!
I also have a mixed salad with smoked salmon on my Ellie plate that I made in 1989.
Fuck, and, this is amazing.
Because I'm a bit of a pillock, I've also got strawberries and raspberries with a strawberry and mint vinegar to go on them. And I know, and a nice. Sparkling raspberry drink as well.
Whoa! I think a round of applause for Ellie, please. Absolutely smashing the snacks. There was other hands that were up there of proud snack bringers. Ellie, might you pass the microphone along to that lady?
Hello. Oh, there we go.
Hello, what's your name?
Faith.
Faith, lovely to meet you, Faith. What have you brought?
Just a few things. I've got some tomato pasta garlic dip.
Fit.
Some baguettes, some par-baked baguettes.
Par-baked baguettes?
Well, I baked them, they're fully baked.
Oh, no, you didn't just bring them
no.
Sealed, frozen. Have you come in shitted in the night and been so hungry and that's all there was? It's hard going. It is like, it's like a, well, I mean, it's just ever so chewy. Have you been there? I imagine you've been at that stage. Rachel.
Yeah, come on, of course I have. It's hard when you get in and you're hammered and there's nothing. And it's just, it's really sad, actually, to get in that state in the first place.
What's the worst thing you've eaten in that state? A par-baked baguette?
I once fried an egg on a baking tray. Because there was nothing in the house. But, and in my defence, my partner at the time kicked off the next morning because he was a very tidy man. And he said, what do you think you're doing, frying an egg on a baking tray? And I said, you know what? If Heston Blumenthal had done that, you'd all be doing it next week.
That's a fair point. Faith, I feel like we didn't get to the end of what you've brought.
Sorry, mate.
Okay. Yeah, part baked baguettes without the baking tray, just straight on there. Straight in the oven. A lentil dal. And
oh, what sort of lentil dal? Talk me through your process, Faith.
Just onions, garlic, spices, red lentils. I did it all quite early this morning. Some soya cream in there as well.
Whoa! Yeah. What, the Alpro one?
Oh, the Alpro one, of course.
Fine,
yeah.
Isn't it? Absolutely fine. Tried the Oatly one?
Not yet, no.
Superior.
No. Really?
I don't know why it's creamier than actual cream, the Oatly stuff. So is there that grey Oatly milk they do, that barista edition. So good, isn't it? It's nicer than milk's.
I'll have to give that one a go.
Is anyone in here not tried oat milk yet, but still having some cow's milk? Hands up. Oh, don't be so coy. Try it. I think it could change your life. Do you like coffee or tea, those people? Coffee? Tea. No, you might be fucked. In coffee, it's, I'd say, superior. Has everyone got some food? Yeah, you do. There you go, try
the
some of that.
The dinosaur eggs are nice.
The dinosaur eggs are nice. Hello, what's your name?
Hi, my name's Hester.
Hi, Hester. What have you brought to eat?
Well, before I tell you what I've brought to eat, I wanted to let you know that the reason why the great Oatly milk is so creamy is because they add extra rapeseed oil to it to boost the protein content so that you can froth it like a normal milk when you're making coffees. It's the barista version.
Oh, and are you a scientist? You might be a food scientist. No. Is rapeseed oil environmentally terrible?
Or are I assume right? not. I was at Latitude Festival over the summer and Oatly had a stand there and they played a video about how great and ethical they are. So I'm going to assume not.
Fucking get in! So if you can't afford the Oatly one, what you could maybe do is just get oats, water, whiz that up together until it's like a disgusting milky-looking liquid. Bit of rapeseed oil indirectly yourself. Couldn't you try and make your own barista edition oat milk?
Just sling it in. And sling it also, in. Interestingly, so I'm here with my friend Rebecca today.
Hi, and, Rebecca.
We were chatting about this on the way down. Did you know that a lot of like cheap, normal, bog-standard vegetable oils are actually 100% rapeseed oil?
Whoa!
I know. Mind blown. I did...
For the podcast.
That's the premium oil, right?
That's amazing. So we're just being totally ripped off.
Yeah, basically.
I'm just going to buy vegetable oil then.
Yeah, just buy vegetable oil.
And check the back of the packet.
I'm going to get a great big one of them where you get the tankard. Like a massive 15-litre tankard of vegetable oil and then just get a pipette in there and drizzle it on. A salad, like
oat
a dressing.
Oat milk for years.
Yeah, perfect. And what have you bought to eat?
Okay, so we stopped off at a nice healthy shop on the way down, if anyone knows the eighth day. So we got a bag of bean crisps, which are thin and crispy popped pea and bean crisps. They're made of corn and beans. However, they are really delicious, but when you mentioned squares, it kind of made me a bit
sad. Who wants a crispy bean after you've thought of squares? Oh, well, thanks very much. Round of applause, please, Heather. Delicious. Okay, well, what do you think, lads, of what we're eating here, Claire?
The dinosaur egg was absolutely lovely.
Yeah.
The long...
I think it's called a doser, that.
Is that the doser?
I think so.
Potato doser. That was that's really good. I feel like I'm just going, that's good. That's well good. That's really good.
To be fair, that's basically what my podcast is for an hour.
So
two people going, that's nice. That's nice. I will go, that's nice.
Yeah, I'm trying to channel my inner Jay Rayner, but it's not happening. I'm just going, that's well good. So.
Yeah, do you know what, though? I'm so glad I haven't got a very loud inner critic on the food front. Rachel?
I'm having a great time. It's very, very nice.
I haven't tried the dinosaur egg yet, but it's a bit cold, basically an hour ago. This would have all been, like, perfect. But no, it's so nice. Whatever that orange liquid was really nice, too.
You've not tried your paste yet?
No, we need to try this paste.
What was the orange liquid? I don't think I had orange liquid.
Like a Dali thing, I think. Nice. I don't know how I would describe it. It's all very lightly spiced, which I think is fine for crowds. And you can't, like, if I didn't say to him in advance, fucking go for it, mate. But he could have for me. Would you have all been all right with spicy?
Yeah.
Bollocks. Rahul, next time, going to get you to up the... up the chili content in this. No, I just think it's all really delicate and lovely, but also, which I don't feel like you get necessarily in loads of Indian takeaways, he's really gone to town on the different textures. There's tons of different crunchy bits involved. Hats off, Rahul.
Yeah, I thought that was rice, and it's not, is it? It's puffed corn. but curry flavoured. It's delicious.
Fit.
And that the potatoy omelette-y.
Yeah.
Well, all is delicious. There's lots of layers of flavours in all of it, isn't there? It's lovely.
Get in. Right, 5-second rule, yes or no?
Yeah.
Cool.
20-second rule, I'm not bothered.
Yeah, mine's about 30 seconds, depends how stiff I am to get up and get out of the chair and get it.
what's the thing that you're up and out quickest for?
It would probably be chocolate.
Right, fair enough. Yeah. You got a favourite chocolate?
Well, no, I have fibromyalgia and I can't do sugar or gluten, but I do eat on bars, raw chocolate, cocoa sugar.
All right.
That's all right. That doesn't affect.
Tell us what micronialgia is. Have I said it wrong?
I don't know what that is. I've got...
so disrespectful.
Micronialgia.
tell us what microbiology is.
I think micronialgia sounds like something painful that's small.
Right.
No, I've got fibromyalgia and Ehlers-Danlos, but they're both pain disabilities. But one fibro's an inflammatory disease, but gluten and sugar makes your nerve endings swell, and gluten does something similar. So it knocks me for days if I eat it.
Fuck. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
But it's mainly refined sugar that does that.
Well, we're going to have an experiment.
We're going to have an experiment live with Sherilee's pain. Wasn't my intention when I started the podcast. I've had a surprising amount of people with gluten intolerances for various reasons, from IBS right through to more neurologically type stuff. All the people I've spoken to on that front so far have gone, there are times where it's worth the pain.
No, no. I actually, it's like horse's hooves landing on every bit of your bone for about 2 days. You'd happily hack your limbs off. Oh, I would. It's not.
Oh, mate, I'm sorry. Before you've said that as well, I've always had a bit of a fear of horses. Claire, 5-second rule?
Oh, God, three-day rule.
3-day rule. Yes.
Yeah, I regularly have a little bit of a munch from the crap in the corner of the kitchen floor. Absolutely.
Perfect.
I retrieved pizza from a bin once when I was really hungover. Like, I'd thrown it in the bin the night before and I woke up and I went, it's still in there, it's fine. And I ate it. It's fine, I'm not dead, as far as I know.
What was it touching in the bin?
It was on. It was still in the box. The box was slightly open. Oh, it'd only been in there about 4 hours.
I suppose if
it's still in the box, it basically hasn't been in the bin.
No. Yeah, it's fine, isn't it?
No,
it was in a container.
I'd have happily taken it out, just naked slice in bin, if there wasn't any wet mess,
like bean juice or something like that.
No. Yeah, if it had an old bean on it. My toddler, we've got a skanky great big throw on the sofa because we rent. And my toddler's regularly dropping, like, obviously just dropping food all on that. And the amount of times I think it's very subconscious. I pick it up and as an act of cleaning, rather than put it in the bin, if it looks like it might be food, pop it in my mouth. And let me tell you, Play-Doh, very salty. Even when it's new. I want to know if there's anything that any of you eat in a particular, in a very particular way, perhaps a ritualistic way. People often have it with confectionery or, I don't know, like any hang-ups from when you were a kid where you ate, even as a kid, did you have to have your sandwiches a certain way, anything like that?
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm a bit particular about my sauce over my rice.
Right.
I'd want to decide when to wet my own rice.
Oh, I like the idea of rice as a thing that needs to be wetted, like an appetite. Would you ever just have dry rice?
Oh, yeah, no, that's fine. But I didn't realise, because I lived on my own for about 14 years, and now I live with my partner. And I didn't realise this was causing him some problems, because he was... Because I just thought, you don't want things to be wet, and you know, I like to decide when things touch each other, but didn't realise it was a thing.
Yeah, you're making it sound like it's part of the Me Too movement as well, which I like.
But
it's up to the rice whether it wants that sauce on it, actually. The rice needs to have been, like, overtly clear about wanting that, and then that's fine.
But he was in the kitchen the other week. And I was like, what's up? You seem a bit flustered. And he was like, well, I'm doing beans and tomatoes, and I don't know where... I can't figure out how to put it on the plate.
Oh, bless him! Lovely man. What about you guys?
I'm probably a little bit of both in terms of I like to homogenise.
What does that mean?
Getting it all sort of together and all the same. So if I've got a curry and rice, I'll homogenise it so that it's all together.
Ooh, someone retched in the audience, Claire. Yeah, someone dry, someone
like
gipped.
A bowl of cat sick. Yeah, I'm happy with that. However, if it's a full breakfast,
right.
I don't want anything wet touching anything dry. And
so hang on, what happens? Do the beans get like a fort
of
their own?
No, beans are the devil, they're disgusting. I can't stand beans.
Controversial.
Bean juice.
Really?
Yeah, and my dad used to call them skinheads on a raft when they were...
So
I can't see beans without them being skinheads. And it's not political, it's just ridiculous. But it's just... Yeah, I don't have beans anyway, but then if I have tomatoes, I don't want them wet, I want them to have a level of crunch on top.
Hang on.
Yeah.
Crunchy tomatoes.
You know, like when you grill them so that they're not just a soggy mess, you want them to still be firm. So that then you can cut up bits of them to have with your bacon, but then you only put those together when you choose to, not somebody else putting it on.
I sound all right now, don't I?
Yeah. It's the most normal I've ever felt. By the way, if any of you... I'm afraid this has got a fuck ton of sugar in it, but I've got some homemade elderflower cordial if any of you want any of that in your water. I said that. Can you tell I said that as I was trying to repress a burp?
A horrible bottle of you would like that to have any of that in your water.
It's past. It's past and I can talk normally again. Rachel Fairbairn, I don't believe you that there's nothing that you need to eat like a big weirdo.
I tend to eat the same things all the time. I don't have much... I can't cook. I'm not interested in cooking. I like eating. Like, if you bring me this, I'll eat it.
Right.
Which has happened. but mostly, I eat potato waffles and boiled eggs. Nice. Free range. 300 waffles. But, I don't know, like... I've got a bit of this and sound.
Have you ever made your waffles in the toaster? Have you heard of Aisling B's trick?
I've heard of this.
Stick it up to six, two full goes. It works.
I've heard this, but I like to have them under the grill. I like to watch the process.
Fine, I understand.
But
like a restaurant where you can see all the kitchen and
yeah,
that.
You know, a bit like that.
Yeah.
I tend to suck things, right? Come on.
Fucking hell. You're
it's
gonna
only
make
20
a...
past two. Come on.
You're going to make a cracking nana.
So square crisps, for example.
And girlfriend.
Square crisps. I like to suck them instead of crunching them. And I love Revels.
I love Revels.
And I love to suck them, but have a cup of tea with them.
Ooh, nice plan.
That kind of stuff.
That's nice. Is there a Revel that you hate? Do you live in fear?
I like them all. I like the coffee ones.
Me
they're
too.
My favourites. Yeah, yeah.
That man's a man vigorously shaking his bearded head. Whoa, no. Well, you and me, sir, would make great Revel sharers because they're, I would go so far as to say, my favourite. My favourite Revel. I like coffee and coffee flavoured everything, even ice cream. Pervert or fine? You're not into it. But
yeah,
do you
but
like
I'm not
coffee?
I'm into coffee, so.
Well, you're wrong.
I'm happy.
I know how to charm my guests. best meal of the day. Let's go there.
Tea.
So, in different parts of the country, that means different things. Explain what tea is to this southern fairy.
Yeah.
Evening meal. Din dins.
Yeah. Breakfast, dinner, tea. Yeah.
35-year-olds are allowed to call that din-dins. Really fucking posh, you're calling it supper, I believe.
See, I'm of the impression that that's a completely different meal altogether.
That's what, just before bed dinner?
Yeah, that's a snack after your tea. Yeah. That's what that is, yeah.
My
that's a boiled egg with a bit of salt on the top. That's
it.
Oh no,
yeah. It's like biscuits and a cup of tea. A boiled egg with salt on the top.
Yeah. I like a boiled egg with salt on top. Pickled egg. That's a room divider. Yeah. Give us a cheer if you're a pickled egg fan. Yeah, there's only about four of them, but they were the best. They're the best four in it. No, I like a boiled egg with a bit of salt on top. But what about raw tomato? A bit of salt on that.
Oh, yes.
Yes, people hissing with yes. Yes, Shirley, would you?
Yeah.
No. Not a salt monster.
Not that salty. No.
I'm getting the impression you and I very different in a mouth.
Yes.
But that's all right, because we could share well.
We could share well, and we can still be friends despite that, which is a lesson to the world.
It might be difficult when picking where we're going to eat, but that's all right.
Yeah. I'm really good at reheating anything for breakfast, though.
Oh, nice. Okay, so you're quite, like, into dinners for breakfast?
Oh, God, yeah. I'm into mushy peas at the moment for breakfast.
Wow.
Or soup, or reheated... Or I've once fried... old fish and chips, refried it for breakfast.
Oh, you monster! My partner does that and I call him disgusting things for it. I think that chips is the one thing that I won't go back to after the fact.
Dash some water on them, because there's this technique with each one.
Oh, okay,
you know what I mean? It's not just bung it in the... It's like with pizza, you have to run it under the tap ever so quickly and then put it in the oven to reheat it so it stays moist.
Great.
This is quite a refined art.
Yeah, okay. It sounds amazing.
Yeah.
I'm big into a bit of fair helping of vinegar on any chip action.
Ooh,
so I don't know whether that maybe doesn't help with the longevity factor.
If you mention vinegar, my mouth waters whenever anyone mentions vinegar.
Really? Just burst. Okay. the vinegar.
This is disgusting. I shouldn't really be telling
this.
Sometimes I just like to get a piece of bread and put vinegar on it and eat it.
A lot of vinegar.
Yeah, loads.
So it's soggy.
Yeah, like...
Isn't that something Kim and Aggie clean with?
I think so.
That is fucking horrible.
I can't... I don't know why I like it. It's just...
I would rather... Why?
Sarsen's, you know, normal vinegar.
Nice bread or sliced bread.
Northern vinegar, yeah.
Nice bread or sliced bread, Shirley.
Swarbuttons. Just northern bread.
Sliced.
Yeah.
Northern. Good, solid, northern bread. Yeah. Why don't you just drink the vinegar? It's the bread bit of it that's troubling me, but I'd drink vinegar.
I just like the... You drink
vinegar?
That's
basically what that kombucha shit is. It's like drinking fizzy vinegar and then you fart for 3 days.
What is it? I don't even know what that is.
And it gives you the shits. Kombucha, it's like a hipster drink with like... It's like fermented... Someone in here will know. She's got a bottle. Can she try a bit?
Is that what that is? What is it?
It gives you ejector seat level gas.
Is it alcoholic?
Does it give you the shits? It gives me the shits. No, Heather's all right.
Can I sniff
it? It's not alcoholic. No, no. It's really vinegary. I think you'll love it. Is it fermented? What? Tea? Fermented tea. It's supposed to be really good for your gut. But you're supposed to microdose it. So just have a sip the first time. If you have a whole bottle the first time, like this dick, working in a writer's room for the day, sat around eight people that you really wanted their approval, and you just... sat there like a growing balloon, a growing human balloon. And then, once every 2 hours, having to go and have an explosive shit. Not far enough away from them or close enough to my home. Sorry, even though the podcast's about eating, it does tend to take a maximum of 10 minutes before I'm talking about shit. Is that what flavour kombucha have you got?
This one is matcha and mint.
Matcha and mint. Matcha's one of those words
Listerine.
That seems to have popped.
You're drinking Listerine.
Listerine. <Yeah. laughs> Maybe. Yeah. Have you got a favourite meal of the day?
Well, I can have two.
Okay, yeah.
I love breakfast because I'm always starving when I get up. But I can't eat before I do a show.
Right, that's interesting because of nerves.
Because I've just got into the habit of it and because I like things in a certain order.
I understand.
I have to do things.
Hold the thought, I want to hear the rest of this. Last night I went for dinner just before a gig and actually it's a shit idea to feel like physically turgid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
and I think it's nice to have something to look forward to after it.
Yeah.
So like last night when I did my gig, I got home from Liverpool about 11:15 and I got myself chips and gravy.
Oof, fit.
And I ate that while I was watching the TV. So I think, it's technically supper, isn't it? It's just a late tea. I like to eat my tea really late.
It's a complicated question, isn't it? Because you can have whatever you want for any of the meals, like you were saying, dinner, breakfasts. Pizza I love for brekkie. But I think as well, I think it says a lot whether you have like, do you have sweet or savoury brekkies?
Savoury.
Savoury.
Same!
Yeah.
I should have got a more diverse panel. What's the food like on set on Corrie?
They make quite a few lentil hot pots now for me because I'm veggie.
Right.
No, it's great. You get really excited about it, and then you. It depends how many times you have to remember. Don't eat too much on each take because you might have to do 20.
Oh, really? Mikey North. I would really struggle with that.
Mikey North at one day had to eat 32 Scotch eggs. There were mini ones, but he ate. And we did one take, and he ate all of it. And then, but because we were in a scene where there was a lot of people, so then you're doing a lot of singles, a lot of doubles, and a wide, and then somebody was messing around to mess up to make him have to eat more Scotch.
Oh, was he sick?
No, but sometimes it's like you get really excited because you're like dead, you sit down in Roy's Rolls and you get chips, and then other times you just had your lunch and you sit down and you're faced with something. Because I believe you should eat when you act. I'm not one of those people who just, because I think you can really tell if you don't eat like you'd eat.
Yeah, well, you can even tell the amount of times we see people drinking from empty mug.
I was just going to say the same thing.
It
drives me insane that. Like, just put some water in it.
And or making a phone call on a blank screen. Yeah. You're like,
No, I was saying about that, but then actually somebody did show me that it does go blank after a while, because that was irritating.
Okay.
But it's the takeaway cups, isn't it? Because people, like, they just hand it them as though it's really...
Yeah.
It should be hot, and I was...
Yeah, just like, thrown it to them. Here's your coffee. Oh, lucky you caught it.
Yum in my tongue.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Have you ever had to eat anything really rank as part of an acting patch? During acting?
No, but because I can't do sugar and I've been able to do sugar for a few years now, the pints in the Rovers are sugar water. So I have to do a lot because Izzy would not drink, she wouldn't drink water, she'd drink a pint.
Yeah.
So I do a lot of, I've just started the scene, so I'm just finishing putting, I've just had a sip.
Nice.
Or, and then hold it as though I'm about to take it, but then get, you know, so I have to act as though we're about to drink, but don't.
I did an advert for Jacob's Crackers. Oh, fuck my life. Oh, it was awful. It was awful. I had to lip sync to I Like to Move It, Move It. My son was only 3 months old. I said I'm going to be bringing my son, and they tried to sack me from the job. This little bit of it is irrelevant. Anyway, it ended up overrunning, and we were there for 16 hours. And I had to lip sync to I Like to Move It, Move It. I just had to pretend to be sat in an aquarium, and the director was such a cunt. And he's, at one point, he was like, this next take, I want you to really fuck the bench. Like, mime as if you're really fucking the bench. I was like, what? I could hear all the extras behind me going, oh, he's such a turd. But anyway, I think because the client was there or whatever, it just kept overrunning and overrunning. But it was such a simple thing. And I had to take a bite of a cracker, Jacob's cracker with cheese on it. again and again and again and again for about 6 hours. I would rather have been having to try and swallow it. I had a spittoon.
Ugh.
Can you imagine being the person whose job it is to put the bucket under the actor so that they can gob out their cheesy cracker?
Oh, God.
Bit after bit after bit. If anything, it stopped me buying Jacob's products, that experience. I can't remember what my original question was. Oh, yeah, about bit of food on set. Rachel, can you tell me anything particularly interesting about serial killers and eating? Perhaps a last meal story or something like that?
Oh, funny you should ask.
That made it sound like I'd prepped you for the question, which I hadn't.
Well, you hadn't, no. But so, Kentucky Fried Chicken, KFC, I still call it Kentucky Fried Chicken. I don't know why.
You posh.
Just something I'm going to keep doing to make me stand out.
What's unique about Rachel Fairbairn's comedy brand? I don't know if you've ever heard her talking about takeaway food.
So, KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken, or fried chicken, is one of the most requested last meals on death row. So much so that I think recently they've actually banned people asking for Kentucky Fried Chicken. But they will still make them fried chicken, but they will not get KFC. John Wayne Gacy used to work at KFC.
Whoa.
The Yorkshire Ripper, one of his final victims, he was sitting in a Kentucky Fried Chicken as he saw her go past, and that's where he sort of stalked her from. So Kentucky Fried Chicken's evil.
Is it true? Someone had already told me that about fried chicken or KFC being the most requested last meal on death row. But isn't there a lot of other restrictions? And that's probably one of the reasons why. Like, they're only allowed up to $15 and it has to be available within a 3-mile radius of the prison or something.
I think
like
there are some restrictions on it, and I think it is up to a certain amount. Like, you can't go overboard. You know, you couldn't say, oh, I want to go on a cruise now and have the buffet at
chicken sausage.
Yeah.
Chicken sausage.
And then, yeah, make my way around the world, you know, buffet.
Or I want, like, the rarest meat known to man.
I imagine it's, in terms of nerves, going to die. Similar to going on stage.
Absolutely.
In the sense you don't want to be full and turgid.
Absolutely not. But you don't get your last meal on the day. You get it a couple of weeks before.
What, and then you have to not eat?
Yeah, so you
as if it wasn't bad enough that you knew you were going to die, you're having on a fortnight fast just to give the meal its proper name. Harrowing. Claire, can you tell us some gritty, dirty goss from Bake Off?
Don't know whether I was there long enough.
You were saying stuff about Paul Hollywood's backstage. Tell us that. Apparently he's got a 21-year-old girlfriend.
I was just going to say, I think I might have been being a really cheap gossip.
Well, what do you think? Come on. Spit it out.
No, he's,
gossip.
He's very nice. And he's a lot shorter.
The is
eyes
he?
Are very blue. Yeah.
He's got beautiful twinkly eyes.
He has got, yeah.
Do you think they're offset by his beautiful twinkly hair?
Everything's a bit twinkly.
Right.
And then, like, he'll turn up in a twinkly, twatty car. And
personalised number plate, a Betty as.
When I say
cake
a twatty
one.
Car.
Cake one!
I mean, it's well known that he's really into his cars and stuff, but yeah, it looks proper midlife crisis.
Oh,
it's
like,
he's a walking
Ferrari
midlife
or,
crisis,
you know,
isn't he?
Does, really swished a cat.
He's a walking midlife crisis, and Mary's a walking afterlife crisis. That's awful to say. I love them very much.
She was very
both.
Kind, though.
Does he wear bootleg jeans? He strikes me as a bootleg man. That's
oh, he's got a bootleg jean
yeah,
or two.
And a loafer.
I actually thought he might be a Simon Cowell midi heel
type
of man, but no, there was no midi heel.
Okay.
Come to think of it, I think there was a slight kick flare.
Of course, I knew it.
The shit you thought you'd never find out.
Describe this cake.
Yeah.
It is
tell us. Well, let's wait until Claire's back on the mic, though.
How much do you want?
Medium, please. You saw me think about. Well, I mean, medium. Fucking now. Oh
Jesus
my
Christ.
God. Shit. Whoa. Shares that with me.
Yeah, I'm going to have to.
Fucking
now. Doorstop.
That is my kind of medium. All right, for the listeners. Claire's just cut a piece of cake bigger than an adult man's head. We need something for perspective, don't we, really? Shit.
It's got three legs.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Look at that.
Wow.
That's a bit more sensible. We could all share that. Do you need a fork? I've got a spoon. Okay, Claire, I need you to tell us what this is.
Yeah, 1 second. Okay.
Thank you, by the way, for baking for us all.
So the big one, the big cake, is a sort of moist chocolate cake with Irish cream, Swiss meringue buttercream and dark chocolate ganache.
Is it single?
Cheryl's is a whiskey tinged, if you like, sticky toffee pudding made gluten free and refined sugar free with a molasses toffee sauce.
When you say whiskey tinged, do you mean riddled?
Well, I like to soak the dates in a bit of hot whiskey, as well as a bit of hot water, because I just like that kind of little smokiness that you get on the back. But you can't taste loads of whiskey. It's not like an alcohol taste. You can just taste that little bit of smoked whiskey on the back.
Can I ask a question? What are molasses? I always read that and I don't know what it is. What is it?
It's unrefined cane sugar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, I thought it was beetles or something. I don't know. I don't know, do I?
Right, I'm going to try this cake.
Let's get in.
Claire, two things. Can I have the recipe for this?
Yeah, of course you can.
For both things. Yeah. And also, do you mind if the audience eat that?
Yeah, knock yourself out. Go for it. What I will say is I don't have any insurance, so if you're allergic to anything or you catch anything, it's not my fault.
Oh, my God.
Shit. Oh, God, I'm going in. Oh, my fucking God. I can't remember last time I had real cream either, but that is so...
I mean, I don't even drink enough. I realise that I've turned up here with, like, really
boozy. This tastes a little bit boozy as well.
Yeah, it's got Irish cream in the buttercream.
Oh, God. I'm going to be terrible at my gig later.
This is great.
Turgid and pissed. This is so nice. It looks so... It looks much denser than it tastes. Mm. It's so light.
Yeah, fuck you, Hollywood.
Booziness in it.
Oh, I've got massive bollocks now, haven't I?
Massive ovaries, we say on this podcast.
This is so soft as well, the sponge. Is your sponge so... Yeah. Oh, it's delicious.
I had a bit of help with yours, actually, because I'm not as skilled a baker as some of the others that I was on the show with that do a lot of the gluten-free and free-from stuff. So Kate Henry, who is the girl from down south with the corkscrew hair on my year, she helped me with that. So,
wow,
but yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, fuck. And what have you slid round the edge of that?
Dark chocolate ganache.
More. Oh. That
it's basically
really nice
just cream,
well.
And, it's cream and dark chocolate melted together and then set again.
Do you want to just talk amongst yourselves for a bit? Superb. Can you taste the whiskey, Shirley, in yours? Mm.
It's delicious. Sorry.
I mean, this bit's almost gone too well for what the situation requires, which is us to keep talking.
Because the height of your cake is phenomenal as well, isn't it? It's almost the height of a normal water bottle.
Mm. It's a good bog trotter, isn't it?
Mm. Beautiful.
What's it called?
A bog trotter, a Bruce bog trotter cake.
Bruce bog trotter cake.
I typed that out this morning on my Instagram post and I put bog frotter. And I was like, I've just made Matilda blue.
Have you ever eaten anything that's given you a nightmare or a dream? Good response. Thought of that question yesterday. Except it's taken quite a long time for anyone. Maybe not.
I'd say no.
Really?
Yeah.
Straightforward. I've never done it with food. When I gave up smoking about 7 years ago, I used to dream I was having a cigarette and I'd wake up with a taste in my mouth.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Weird. Really weird. You'd wake up and you'd be like, and you'd be sort of like, oh my God, that cigarette was so good. And you'd have the taste in your mouth. And obviously you didn't. It's all psychological. But I used to dream about having a fag.
I've got a really, like, a positive, nice story and then a fucking horrific one.
Oh, God.
The nice one is, well, it's not that nice. I think I was about 16 or 17, don't know, maybe 15, really stoned after work in a hotel with a load of wrong'uns. There's a chambermaid and a waitress. And then got really caned and came back, and it was Easter, and I had about 4 Easter eggs from parents. I hadn't just self-gifted, as per these days. I was still a child. Other people were giving me Easter eggs. Anyway, they were all just led around my room. Didn't think anything of it. Woke up the next day, they'd gone. And my bed was covered in chocolate. And I'd sleep at them. I wolfed them. It was all around my face. I was naked. It was all over me. And it was just like torn wrappers where I'd like, it looked like I'd bitten through the wrappers. Like a wolf. A sleep pig. That's the nice story. And now I'm what? So this is recent and it's awful, but my son is very nearly 3. And we went to stay with some friends in Durham recently. Oh, God. And we were sharing a room. So he's on like a little mattress on the floor next to me. My friends I'm staying with are very lovely, but they go to bed at 9, which I can't do. But I tried to go to bed from about 10:30, and I'm just laid there with my eyes shut, and I can't sleep. And I can hear him rustling and faffing and turning around and shuffling and rustling and whatever. All these like squirrel. Anyway, gets to about 11:30, and I hear this. And he gets up, it's dark, obviously, and he's like zombie walking around. And I was like, Rudy, come and get in here. Just get in with me. And normally that would be him cheerful as, because that's really what he was after all along. Do you know what I mean? And he was going, and he crawls in bed next to me, and then points to his mouth and goes, dirty, dirty. In his sleep, he's fished a turd out the back of his pull-up, put it in his mouth, and chewed. It was right up in his gums. I just had to get him in the bathroom just fingering turds out of a child's mouth.
He needs some of that girl's tea.
He does need some of that girl's tea. Oh, my days. It was horrific. But the worst thing about it was, once I got all his mouth cleaned out, spilled out, and I scrubbed all in his mouth with my toothbrush, binned that, whatever, once his mouth was all fine, he was like, there was a poo-poo in my mouth. Just dead chuffed about it. Like, it was up my bum-bum, and then it was up my mouth. And he's telling everyone about it all the next day. He goes straight off to sleep, and I'm lying there, traumatised. Every little shuffle or snuffle, I'm like, he's eating his shit again.
Is he still telling people about it?
Yeah, he's proud. And you go, well, how did it get from the bum bum to the mouth? And he goes, I don't know. I just don't know. He was so shocked by it that I do think he'd done it in his sleep, because he was like, dirty. I had to admit I told this story on a new material stand-up gig, and I've had an email from a woman in the audience saying that for a week since, her husband comes up to her every day and points at his mouth and goes, dirty. Bastard.
I did one of those, not the eating in my sleep, but drunk eating, couldn't remember it. It was a very drunk, I think it was my most drunk night. I woke up and my wheelchair was in the wardrobe, but I hadn't opened the door.
You just rammed it through the door.
And got out and thought, oh, sod that, leave that. But then it was like that, you know, when you piece together the night before drinking. Oh, by the fact, but there was an oven tray on the floor with a slice of pizza with it, but the window was open, there was a pigeon on the floor. And when you're a bit hungover, a bit dazed, it was like, this cooing woke me up. But then there was squished chips in wheelchair tracks all the way back. I don't know what I'd done. It was almost like I'd scattered them and then run them over like Hansel and Gretel. It was like, I don't know what I did that night, drunk when I got home, but I fed myself, but not very well.
Oh, I love it. A tornado full of a new kind of mutant bee is heading for Manchester and is going to smash Manchester to rubble, but rubble full of people that have also been stung. in the most ironic end ever for a city. The tornado full of bees will only be stopped if you three team up, join forces, and become a dance troupe. You have to woo the bees, because they love dancing. You have to woo the bees by doing the world's fastest dance. It's from China, and it's got 241 steps per minute. Sounds impossible, but... So, you're a hero. You've just saved Manchester from destruction. You're feeling amazing. Everybody loves you. But obviously, you're totally wazzocked. You've just done the most exercise ever. You're beyond the point where you feel sort of sick and sweaty. You're allowed to have had a shower or whatever. And you're so hungry because, obviously, your body's hungry, hungry, hungry. So, your reward, as well as being adored for all time, is the feast of your dreams. Mm-hmm. Nothing in this has to be realistic. It doesn't have to exist. It doesn't have to be possible. It certainly doesn't have to be healthy. I just want to know what you're eating, what you're drinking, who with, and where. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Cool.
Salt and pepper spare ribs. My cake.
Yeah. What, that one?
Yeah, that one.
Yes.
That one. Terry's chocolate orange.
Whoa, dark chocolate, normal.
Not normal. Not
dark. I like dark.
Yeah, no. Terry's chocolate orange, a Southold brewery, 0% alcohol craft beer.
I have to look that up.
Reese Shearsmith.
Are you eating him or is he there? Both.
Not
fair
sure.
Enough.
Not sure. Yeah,
Rachel will be there sucking away.
And what was the other one? Where?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't care.
Don't care. Cloud nine, mate, by the sounds of it. What a fucking brilliant answer. Thank you very much. What about you, my love?
It'd be a mixture of healthy and not. I'd have a lot of melted cheese in juice food.
Like a fondue.
Oh, things you can dip. I do like.
Yes.
Something breadcrumby, which I can't normally have. A bit of Ottolenghi salads as well.
Oh, fit.
On the other side.
Have you got his new cookbook? It's called Simple.
Yes.
Oh, it's really nice. It's got some great shit in there.
Oh, I love Ottolenghi.
Yeah, I love Ottolenghi. I want to get him on this podcast one day. I'd struggle not to touch him. Do you know who I'm on
about?
No,
I have no idea. Absolutely no idea. Who is it?
He's a chef, but it does sort of... very distinctive recipes that are like fusion Israeli and Palestinian and
mix, isn't he? But he's got a few restaurants in
Italian
and he mixes, but he over flavours vegetables and salads. Mm. But then he's also fantastic on cakes.
So I've never done an Ottolenghi cake. He does one that we call Boxing Day Salad because that's when we add it, but it's got like raw celeriac in matchsticks and really thin, really tart apple. It sounds shit, but it's so good. Mm-hmm. It's just like, makes you go like that. Really zingy.
Oh, his sweet potato gratin with, it's basically like...
He's not sponsoring this podcast, by the way. No, so nice.
Sweet potato, rosemary, garlic and cream. It turns into like a... gooey crumble.
Poor Rachel. Oh no, hang on, we didn't find out who you're with and where.
I was probably just eating.
On your own, anywhere.
Everybody I love, I suppose.
Oh, that's nice, yeah. Catch all. Fairburn.
I would have chicken and mushroom pie, chips and gravy from Mount Road Chippy in Alcrington.
All these places will be in the podcast notes if they're Googleable.
Then I would have, I'll tell you, I'd have a Manchester tart as well.
Ooh. Is that the one with the cornflakes on the roof?
Roof? we're not that poor up here. It's like coconut on the top, but it's like jam and custard, and it's very nice. My favourite thing to do...
In Blackburn, there's one with cornflakes on top.
Oh, like a cornflake cake thing?
Yeah, but I thought... Anyway, sorry. Tezilias told me about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I thought it was the same thing.
Probably
again,
very similar.
Racist.
My favourite thing to do, though, is when you say, old Manchester town, and people go, what's that? I like to go...
For the podcast listeners, she's pointed at herself with a thumb.
There's a few school dinner things that I'd have as well.
Ooh.
Sort of some of the puddings from that.
Oh, yeah.
And some of the hot pots.
Very wet, things. Hot puddings in bowls.
Yeah. What else? What else do we like? Packet of square crisps.
Yep. Yeah.
Standard, yeah.
Two at a time.
Acceptable.
Vol-au-vents with chicken and mushroom in. I love chicken and mushroom.
Great, it's a great combo, classic combo. Do you like corn?
Oh, coal, I think, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, both, I don't mind. Right, I don't mind. Is. And where I used to live in Walthamstow in London, there was a Pepe's chicken shop, of which there are many around the UK, but this one was banging, and I would have loads of the chicken pitters from there and the chips. Brilliant. I would be with Liam and Noel Gallagher, obviously. And who else do I like?
That's it, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. That's, and we'd be in... We'll be in Antigua.
Whoa! That's the most amazing mix-up ever.
I know.
Oh, this has been really fun. Thanks so much for coming to it, you lot. Have you had an all right time? Should I do it again next year? Wicked. Thanks for listening to the podcast, if you do. Those of you who don't, start. Please. Thank you very much. The last thing I want to do is ask my guests if there's anything you would like to plug at the moment.
We have a weekly choir at Bridgewater Hall in term time for people with mental health experiences or their loved ones who have those experiences. And it's brilliant. We're supported by MMU and they're doing research on the difference, and our wellbeing in the last term was up 89%. So come along and just have a nice sing.
Wicked. Do you know what I was thinking? I've bloody heard about this and I think it's from your Twitter feed.
Probably.
Yes. So what's your social media handle?
At Sherilee Houston.
There we go. Brilliant. Check that out, you guys.
I'm doing my stand-up show at the Frog and Bucket in Manchester on Sunday the 23rd of October, I think. I can't remember. At 6:30. If you've found me amusing, come to that. If you haven't, don't bother. That's it, really.
She's brilliant at stand-up. And you can't, go.
You can't follow me on Twitter because I've been banned, so... For nothing.
Properly for a joke, like an obvious joke. Fuck Twitter. Claire?
I just fart around on social media. I don't really have anything proper that I do.
Your Twitter handle's Bake Therapist, is that right?
You have to put the underscore in.
Bake underscore therapist.
Otherwise it reads something very, very different.
Not a bad way of getting rid of them. Yeah.
Every single time, and like somebody new is kind of like seeing what it is. Oh, I thought that said the other then, and I was like, yeah, it's fine. But I'm the same on Instagram, so yeah. I keep meaning to change it, but it's just I can't now. It's just part of it.
Shit, brilliant. I love it. Thank you so much for coming out. Before you go, please come and help yourself to any of this food, actually. Take care. Thank you for coming. Could you all clap now?
Say scrumdiddlyumptious.
No!
And then you can be in my podcast.
Scrumdiddlyumptious.
Huge thanks to the amazing Rachel, Is It Single, Fairburn, Claire, yeah, fuck you, Hollywood, Goodwin, and Sherilee, There Was a Pigeon, Houston. They are all on social media. I implore you to follow them. Check out Sherilee's excellent Bee Vocal Choir. That's Bee like the animal. That's Manchester's mental health choir, which sounds properly amazing. And if you like laughing and serial killers, trust me, even if you don't think you do, you actually do, then you have to listen to Rachel Fairburn and Kiri Pritchard-McLean's excellent podcast, All Killer, No Filler. It's going great guns. I'm sure they don't need your help. I'm sure you already listen. But if you don't, try it. For tickets to the next Hoovering Live shows in London in January, go to unrestrictedview.co.uk/the-hoovering-podcast-live. And also, come and see my new stand-up. I'll be alongside loads of truly awesome comedians in London too. Between now and mid-December, there are still 4 dates. Go to wegottickets.com, then search for Honers Club, H-O-N-E-R-S Club. Please tell everyone you can about the podcast. I don't know, next time you're in an eggy conversation at work with someone who, I don't know, is not easy to talk to, just start talking about my podcast. I don't know how to PR this. I'm trying to work out ways of helping you help me grow this podcast. But, you know, can you just tell every bastard about the podcast? Thanks. And join me on social media. It's at the Hoovering Pod. Rate, review and subscribe. Give it 5 stars and follow me too. I am at Jessica Foster Q. You can tweet me or you can tell me longer things because you can email me through my website, jessicafosterq.com. And, if you are one of my patrons, I love you. If you're not and you'd like to be, Go to patreon.com/thehooveringpod and you can swap money for prizes. Hoovering is produced by Emma Corsham and the music is by Mike Greenway. Until next week, happy hoovering.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.